Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome back to the Horror Movie Podcast for the Casually Obsessed. I'm John.
I'm Kim.
And this is a very special episode.
Is it very special?
That we are a double bill, a new double feature that we're starting, that we're calling...
I want to let you guys know, this is the cream of the crop here. I've been fighting to get this mirror content on the show.
And... Kim's been fighting so hard, she's given it so much thought that we've the episode title we've come up with is Something Something Haunted Mirrors.
Yay! I'm excited.
Honestly, I think maybe a cop-out of a title, but kind of perfectly describes what these movies are about, because there's not really a whole lot.
Don't knock it till
there.
You watch it, John.
It's just kind of something, something, haunted mirrors. That's how they got the green light. They're like, I don't know, we got Richard Roundtree. He said he'd come in for a day or two to be in the movie. They're like, all right, fine, fuck it, go for it.
Who's Richard Roundtree?
Richard Roundtree is the sculptor in the movie.
The sculptor.
He makes the cool TV with the shotgun built into it.
That's not really a sculpture, but okay.
It's kind of a sculpture. It seems like a bit more of a performance piece.
What's he from?
You would probably recognize him most from George of the Jungle. He's the leader of the scouts that's bringing.
Oh, I thought he was familiar.
For the rest of us out there, he's fucking Shaft. Like, he's the original Shaft.
George of the Jungle.
Damn right. So yeah, this week we are talking about Amityville, A New Generation. Just one of a series of Amityville movies that are not about the Amityville house, but
it's just
simply about an object from the Amityville house.
Yeah, so I knew it was mirror-centric. Did not know it was not set at the Amityville house. My favorite moment from our viewing of this film was 15, 20 minutes in when I was like, John, when are we going to get to the house?
Never. Yeah. It's not even the only movie. Now, obviously, there's like 57 Amityville movies. There were 4 Amityville horror movies in 2023 alone.
Well, it's not a single property anymore, right? Like, it's just because it's based on a true crime. It's based on a news story. So that's like a public source,
yes.
Which means anybody can call their movie Amityville.
Yeah, including some filmmakers in 2023 who called their movie The Amityville Toilet. the Amityville has gone to space. There's been The Amityville Moon, which was a sequel to The Amityville Harvest.
My favorite title is Amityville, It's About Time.
Which is about a haunted clock. This one, for some bizarre reason, A New Generation is about a haunted mirror.
Yeah, I guess the new generation title comes in because we're not at the house, we're not following any of the original bloodlines.
But it's not the first time they've done this. It's About
and
Time.
And it's a bunch of cool hipsters.
Okay, yeah, it's about artists. There was a period in the 80s and 90s where so many movies were just set because they only had the budget to shoot in one building. Like, oh, fuck it, there are artists and we're in their loft and we never leave it.
Yeah, but it made us all want that weird... Death trap elevator.
Yeah. Yeah. We all want the loft elevator.
We do. All of us.
Okay, so Amityville sequels got a lot going against them, including...
And for them.
Especially when you have somebody like me in the podcast who wants to poo-poo them before we even get to the trailer. So Kim, I'm gonna leave this up to you mostly. Give us 3 good things about Amityville, A New Generation.
Okay, so I'm going to preface this by saying 3 good ? Things.
Okay.
Because this is one of those movies that you have to watch with your so bad it's good eyes, with your trashterpiece eyes.
Right? It's important to remember that movies are entertainment, so as long as they're entertaining, they're
good.
Yeah,
exactly. You have to set yourself up in the space where you're going to have a fucking ball watching this. So these are my good things going in that headspace.
Yes.
One, they have one door sound for the entire movie, and so many doors are opened, and they all have the same sound effect.
I was really hoping that we would get to the Amityville house, and it would be the same sound.
If you were to make a drinking game out of just the door sound, that is the only rule for your Amityville New Generation drinking game, you would be fucking obliterated.
Oh, yeah.
Now that I've said it, watch the movie, you will not be able to hear anything else. You will miss plot because the door sound is so intrusive.
What's good thing number two?
Oh, do you not want to do any of them?
Oh, no, I'm recusing myself from this entirely.
All right, number two, artists, demons literally coming to life. Pretty fucking cool. Does it have to do with Amityville or the Evil Mirror? Nah. It could have kind of gone with any paranormally supernatural script, but you know what? I fucking liked it.
Yep.
It was fucking fun.
Really worked.
It felt very Tales from the Crypty.
Or Nightmare on Elm Street Dream Child? Is that the one? That we go into his comic book. The comic
yes.
book is evil?
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like that. And it was great. I loved it. And also, fucking, yeah. It was fun.
Okay, so it seems rude of me to just not give a good thing. So, I mean, I've already mentioned Richard Roundtree. We've also got cameos from David Naughton, who everybody's definitely going to remember from American Werewolf in London.
Is that a cameo, or is it a weird
got a weird small role. Okay, the good thing about David Naughton's performance in this movie is that at one point he becomes a bit of a ghoul, and he screams, "I'm your landlord!" Which is just funny. And then also Terry O'Quinn from the Stepfather movies, which we just watched Stepfather 2, The Fiend Club, and it's a fucking delight.
It was so fun.
It's bananas.
Yeah, he's maybe one of my new favorite horror actors, so I was very pleased to see him, and the role is surprisingly large for, like, a detective who's just like, what are you artists up to? People keep dying here.
He's so good in this movie. Yeah. So those are three good things about Amityville New Generation. I think the overarching good thing is
the
that
door
it's
sound.
A haunted mirror. Because you gotta love it when it's... Oh, man. So the thing about the haunted mirror, and this is the last thing I'll say before we cut to the trailer. I don't know if the mirror is haunted by evil or if it's haunted by the house.
I don't know if the film knows.
Once it hung in a fine old home.
Like it? It's interesting.
I want you to have it.
Reflecting.
Oh, where did you get this?
Witnessing.
It's fantastic.
Watching.
What do you see?
In a place called Amityville. All its secrets.
Maybe he just got a look at himself.
All its memories.
You know this man?
All its mysteries.
What does it say in the file about the mirror?
Have become a legacy of terror. Passed from father to son.
No! Maybe I'm gonna commit the same crime. Maybe it's my destiny.
Amityville, A New Generation. Ah! Starring Terry O'Quinn of The Stepfather.
No!
And David Naughton of An American Werewolf in London.
Come back here!
From the special effects team that brought you the original Amityville Horror. And the blockbuster hit, The Hunt for Red October. Through this looking glass. Ah! A journey beyond fear. Amityville, A New Generation.
I'm proud of you, son.
The image of evil.
Amityville, A New Generation is currently sitting at a surprising 3.9 out of 10 on IMDb.
Wow!
A shocking 28% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is only the audience score. There's no critic score. And on Letterboxd, it has a 2.3 out of 5. A respectable 2.3 out of 5.
Hey, you know, on the scale of, like, Letterboxd, anywhere around 2.5 is standard. Like...
On the scale of Amityville, anywhere around 2.5 is astounding.
Okay. Don't be mean now.
That's okay. I think we both had a lot of fun watching the movie, whether we were laughing at it or with it. And there were some good moments. It seems very obsessed with nuclear destruction.
Weirdly so. But, like, in a subtle, we're not going to talk about it way.
Very. Oh, and the Cold War is over at this point, right? It's 1993. It's gone. But the main character, each of the characters in the movie are artists. They all have a different medium. Our lead, I don't remember his name.
Keys.
Oh, what a name.
I wrote down the name so we wouldn't sound like idiots.
Keys is a photographer, and it seems like a lot of what he photographs is like nuclear plant silos. like the stuff you would see in the Springfield nuclear plant.
But it also, they're not stylized. They look like they could be for newspaper articles.
He's just shooting stuff in black and white, and he's just like, ah, art. Which we've all done. Like, we've all taken a bad photo and put a black and white filter on it, and you're just like, you know what? When you bring the contrast up and you add that inkwell filter, it's a pretty good photo, am I right? I meant to take this. Beyond that, they also go to the Ground Zero Cafe, which has a giant mushroom cloud. Like,
it's a terrible name for a cafe.
It's not that bad. I mean, it depends. Like, if it's like apocalyptic in there.
I get the play on words, like ground, coffee grounds, hehe, but it's so morbid. But I guess basing your seventh sequel off of a very real true crime story where multiple people were murdered is also pretty dark in tone. So I guess they can have their nuclear coffee shop.
I would buy coffee from this spot. Also, cappuccinos are $2. Don't you wish we could go back to 1993?
Yeah, I was I spent a weird amount of time in my head during this movie trying to calculate the inflation rate.
What?
If for cappuccinos being, like, say, average $7 now and $2 back in 1993, that's a crazy increase.
So Kim's attention span for this movie was the inflation rate.
Door sounds.
Door sounds. And judging everybody's art. I think that was the majority of what we did watching this movie, right?
I didn't judge anybody's art.
Okay, well, we graded it. I don't know. Like, the art was not bad. Suki's art, his neighbor, is pretty good.
Like, I feel like she's the real artist of the bunch. She's the one that's helming, like, the, we should have a show, we're all artists, let's wear overalls all the time.
The standard artist outfit. Don't put Polly down. Why don't you think he's a sculptor?
Because we never see any sculptures.
We see a whole sculpture at the end.
Yeah, okay.
It's a whole piece.
It's a piece, I'll say that, but it's more performance art than anything. And then Keyes, the main character, he's supposed to be a photographer, and we'll talk about his photography because there's some weird shit in there. His also ends up being a performance piece, but even before it's a performance piece, it's like a 3D setup that has nothing to do with photography.
Yeah, the whole movie is them working toward an art show that they want to hold in their, I'm going to say, illegal apartment. David Naughton is their landlord. He seems like he's a friend of theirs who owns the building. None of the, like, most of the space.
They're artist lofts.
Yeah. So, the Amityville of it all.
Is there any?
Not really much. But it all kicks off when Keyes takes a photograph of a homeless man from across the street. And he has this weird moment where he's like, hey man, so I took your photo.
It's a pretty great photo, if I do say so myself.
Hasn't developed it yet. I think it's really going to turn out.
Like, I'm going to make a ton of money off of it, so here's a fiver.
Yeah, I don't think it's right for me to be the only person who profits off it, so here's less than a half of percent for what I'm going to sell this photograph for.
I did not know what he was getting at. I thought he was going to pull like a release form out of his bag.
Oh, he's going to get him to sign off on it? You know, instead he just gives him $5, and the homeless guy's like, you know, I like the cut of you, man. I like your whole deal. I'm gonna give you a little something, and he gifts him the mirror. And there is an incredible moment where he's watching this kid look at the mirror, and he's like, yeah, you know, it really has a great reflection. The image really stays there. And Keyes gets hypnotized by it. There's this weird glow. You'd think he's looking at something, and that was probably the direction he was given, because they're like, oh, yeah, no, we're going to fix it in post. But instead, they just added a light. And then when he looks away from the mirror, the homeless man's gone. Like,
he's
oh,
disappeared!
My God, where was he even here? Oh, no, there he is. He's just 10 feet away walking down the sidewalk.
Like, he's attention span done. He's like, I'm over this.
Yeah, I'm out of here. Clearly a cursed mirror. Like, it's like he's been trying to get rid of it his entire life, but nobody wants to buy it from the homeless man. So now that he's finally gotten rid of it, he can fuck off. He's passed the curse
and
on the Keyes.
What a happenstance meeting that has nothing to do with anything else in the entire film.
Yeah, no, he's not a consequential character who's gonna come back. He's not related to Keyes' past at all. You know, which is definitely not something at all that we suspected after all of his, like, talk with his girlfriend about, I never knew who my dad was. Wouldn't even recognize him if I saw him on the street and took his photograph. His girlfriend hates the mirror. The mirror's kind of cool. The mirror's kind of gothic. I mean, it's just boring.
It's just a fucking
it's
mirror.
It's just a mirror. But it looks all right. Suki's immediately taken by it. Everybody wants to use this mirror in their art piece. They just don't know how.
No, but I don't know if she wants to use it in her art piece because she's like, can I borrow this? Yeah. What are you going to borrow a mirror for?
Especially if it's going to be used in your art. Like, once you incorporate it into whatever the piece is, whatever the installation is, it's there forever. It's not going away.
She does borrow it, and then it just stays propped in her living room and kills her guests.
Yeah, her ex-boyfriend, just some dude she's been sleeping with for like 2 weeks, breaks in, and he's slashing her art. Like, he hates her guts because she finds out that he's been cheating on her, even though she was probably like the girl on the side originally. He gets drunk, breaks into her apartment, and just starts cutting up all of her canvases.
And then fucking the mirror is having no part of that. He's like, yo, don't touch her art. Mm-hmm. I'm a bad mirror with good intentions. I'm going to make you kill yourself via window glass.
So what you have to remember here, I think I've just figured this out. The mirror is also an artist, but its medium is pain and its canvas.
You're giving the mirror too much credit.
Its canvas are the people.
I think the mirror is a serial killer.
I think, yeah. I think I've cracked the code though. And like, you got to admit, serial killers in movies are often portrayed as artists. You know, it's just like they work in a really taboo medium.
Sure.
So like, I think that's it because all of the slashes that you know, this asshole has put into Suki's art appear on his face and across his chest and stuff. And, you know, he tries to escape by jumping out a window, but he gets overcome by his wounds.
So he's a poet. He deals in poetic justice.
The mirror?
Yeah.
Okay. But the thing is that the image that appears on the mirror when people die is the Amityville house. Because that's all anybody actually cares about,
it doesn't
about,
necessarily
right?
appear when they die. It just, like...
It just sometimes?
It just visually reminds the audience, like, this is the Amityville mirror. We're not there, but we're there in spirit.
Right? You could just put eyeballs. That's it. Just evil eyeballs. Devil eyeballs. And it'd be the exact same movie. You just take Amityville out of the... Well, maybe not take Amityville out of the title, but you gotta change the title completely.
We spent so much time trying to figure out like Key's heritage that we didn't focus on the evil mirror enough. The evil mirror only really gets to kill two people, because after Suki's death, which we'll talk about,
mm-hmm.
does it kill anybody else after
I
that?
Think all of the evil that shows up is related to the mirror because Dick, the landlord, he dies in the basement when there's like an electrical problem and he goes down to check the breakers.
Okay, so incidental death. Sorry,
Kim's so engaged in this movie that she's yawning.
I'm in the middle of a yawn. So his is incidentally associated. That's it, though.
He gets spooked by a ghoul. Yeah, I guess that is it. Hey, nobody dies in Poltergeist. We're still fucking head over heels.
Okay, but
that,
that's a fucking banger. So
yeah.
You shut your mouth.
I don't know why I'm trying to defend this movie. I didn't think it was that great. But no, the mirror kills enough people, I guess, right? Just enough that the detectives are like, something's going on here, but also we're not going to do a whole lot about it.
Everything kind of wraps up nice for the detectives, apart from like the one guy who dies in a window from superficial glass wounds. Because Suki, she gets inspired from looking in the mirror.
Like, more inspired than anybody has ever been, ever.
Exactly. And then the night before, where they were all having a hangout, you know, and she asked to borrow the mirror, she tells about how she used to see demons in her room, and everybody was like, oh, you're an artist, I guess that's okay. And then so she starts painting the demons that she saw when she was a kid. And
oh, right. Okay.
There's tons of these, like, larger-than-life canvases with some okay renderings of demons.
They look like the monsters that Will Smith shoots in, like, the training section of Men in Black.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, this guy's just pumping iron on top of this light. This guy's not snarling. He's sneezing. Like, they look like that, or like the cover of Demon Wind. Like, something we're all familiar with. But she's rigged them up on ropes. Okay. She's rigged them up to a noose.
They're all rigged up to nooses.
So that if she yanks on the noose, or if she were to, I don't know, perhaps hang by the neck and sway, that the demons would all move in unison, and they kind of look like they're alive.
Yeah, and for some reason, the mirror gets real creative with her kill, and
but
during the kill sequence, the demons come off the art, and they're these ghostly apparitions chasing her around her studio.
I should say that you are selling this too hard. Like we're both victims of this now. There's maybe one image of a demon. Like we see that several have jumped off the canvas, but we only really get to see half of a demon.
Yeah, she's crawling through the canvases for most of it, and then she comes to the mirror, and there's like a version of herself in there that's like, hey, nooses are fun, nooses are cool, put one around your neck and see what'll happen. And so she does, and then she dies.
But
and
we never find her body.
It looks like a suicide.
Yeah.
They do find her body. What are you talking
about? Oh, no.
What are you talking about?
Sorry, there's a fake out in the movie that fucked me up, because Keys gets a phone call from the police saying that they've got a body that they need him to identify. And this is...
And they're like, we only know one other person.
Pretty much. Like, this is immediately after Suki's killed herself. And even Keys is like, oh my God, Suki! And he runs over to her apartment, but she's nowhere to be found. She's not in there. And so when he goes to the police department, we see that it's the homeless man. And for some reason, the homeless man had his name and his address written in his pocket.
But we don't talk about the beginning of the movie at all. Not like, oh, we met, but I never gave him my name. And I was the one that instigated that meeting, so it's weird that he would know me. He gave me a mirror, though. It was all really, you know, random.
But also, I want to pay for his funeral.
I have these compelling emotions, and I must pay for this funeral, and I definitely don't want to look like I killed this man, but I would like to pay for the funeral.
How did this struggling artist pay for any, like, pay for lunch? Like, how did he pay for, like, he let his girlfriend pay
Emma's
for lunch.
Like his girlfriend.
Yeah, definitely had it. His girlfriend's got a real job. She seems very supportive.
She's
financially
got, like,
and emotionally.
A business job.
Yeah. There you are. She actually has to get up in the morning and go out. But she does seem pretty supportive in general. Regardless, he's taken it upon himself because of the cruel, macabre, dark humor of the coroner talking about how this guy's body's probably just gonna get donated to medical science and then, like, I don't know, incinerated with a whole bunch of other people, which is, it's basically what happens. Like, if bodies go unclaimed, they eventually end up just getting cremated, and if nobody collects the ashes...
But they get a John Doe grave, right?
Yeah, but I think... Ooh, I mean, like, things have probably changed, and it's obviously different state by state and country by country, but from what I understand, they end up getting, like, put into, like, lump plots.
Oh.
Like, you can get a whole bunch of people in one plot every year, I think is kind of how it ends up happening. And that's what I remember reading in Stiff, that Mary Roach book, but that was also probably written 20 years ago at this point. Things have probably changed. Anyway, he can't handle that. He also doesn't like the coroner eating a fucking apple in the autopsy room, which should have been one of the good things. I'd forgotten about it. I love when a coroner eats lunch over a dead body.
You know, I don't think there's a single coroner scene where a coroner doesn't eat something.
Yeah.
Which is such a weird Hollywood quirk. It's the, you know, washing your face to clear your head.
Yeah.
Coroners are just always eating a fucking sandwich.
Except the splashing water in your face actually turns out to be scientifically helpful.
Yeah, but people don't do it.
No, and same, I'm sure coroners are not eating sandwiches over top of dead bodies.
I'm sure they're not allowed to.
Yeah, I'm sure no one wants to. I don't like eating my sandwich near someone who's coughing. I'm not eating it near a dead body. But I love seeing it in movies. We gotta go back. We gotta start doing some research and figuring out.
I thought you meant in this movie.
No.
I was like, we're not going back.
No, I'm happy to move on. let's talk about next week's movie. Let's just make a double header episode. We should go back. We should do the research and figure out what the first coroner eating scene. I mean, I could probably just ask ChatGPT. She'll figure it out for me. But I'd love to know where it originated.
I think that's too niche for ChatGPT. She doesn't care about coroners eating nearly as much as you do.
And this is why the computers will never take over, because they're not asking the important questions and they're not doing the research needed.
But I mean, if you write an article about it, then she will have the answers, because she'll scrape it.
All I'm doing is teaching the machine. Fuck, they are going to take over.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There's a great moment in this movie. Just like a truly awesome performance from Terry O'Quinn, who plays the detective, Mr. Stepfather himself. He calls Keys to the gravesite where they're burying his homeless man. I almost gave it away. And he's like, oh, you just missed it. He's already in the ground. We've already put the dirt down. Don't worry, we can chat here while this person installs a plaque. To Keys' surprise, the plaque has the homeless man's name, and then also underneath it, beloved father of Keys. And he freaks the fuck out. Because, like, he's had this weird suspicion that maybe this guy is
not related to facts or information at all.
No, just gut check. He's like, oh, he saw a name in the back of the mirror, and he's like, what's that name? Could it be mine? Based on nothing. Like, he's just got, like, how did I know this guy? He's so familiar. But the cop has already done the legwork and figured out that he is the biological son of this homeless man, whose name, I don't remember. Last name was Brannon, is that right?
Yeah, they just call him Bronner, so that's all
Bronner,
I wrote down.
Bronner, despite the fact that the original name of the Amityville is DeFeo.
So I want to talk about this, because all through the movie, Keys is having these, like, nightmare visions of the Amityville house, which we know from the single image of the Amityville house that they licensed. And we're watching him in a first-person POV walking towards a kitchen that's not the original Amityville house, but we're pretending it is. Nor is it the original Amityville characters, where there's, like, a dad who's, you know, getting ready to carve a turkey, and you hear, like, the schlink, schlink, schlink of the knife, and there's two young kids, and then there's a woman. We find out that Bronner killed his family. And when they said that, I assumed it was Amityville style, like he killed his wife and kids. But the scene we keep seeing is like a mother and father and two kids being killed by this, we don't know, assailant, because we're the eyes of it.
Wasn't that the Amity story, though? Like, wasn't it the son that killed the whole family? And then a new family moves in, and then dad gets possessed because it's way cooler to have Josh Brolin?
Yeah, I think that's so?
I think that's what it is.
Okay, so we're supposed to be the original family, even though that's not the...
No, that's not the name. And okay, also, apparently that guy had a family of his own.
I'm just trying to figure out how this relates to the original Amityville story. Were we to assume that Bronner was the one that sold the house to Josh Brolin? James Brolin? Whatever Brolin it is?
I think the house went up for auction, which we learned from a true surprise cameo by Lynn Shay, who's actually great in this
movie. She's the best part of this
movie.
She's
like a little kooky, and like maybe you
she
can't trust her.
She acts around this whole movie.
Oh man, she's incredible. She's like the last person who used to work at this mental institution. She's got all the files, because we find out that Bronner was, you know, committed for life, but when Reagan did that thing where he just like let all the patients out of all of the mental care facilities in all of America.
To save some money.
And it was a huge problem. It's how we got Cropsey, it's how we got The Burning. Where would horror movies be without this awful decision? She is just piled with files and file and folders, just information about all of the kooky people that should have been taken care of.
And she's also infinitely bored.
Yeah, and she, by all estimate, actually took care of Bronner.
Back to the timeline, though. So Bronner kills his family. And by family, we mean father, mother, siblings.
Yes.
Goes on to get married and have a wife and have a kid.
That's where I truly don't understand. I do not know where and when.
Like, did he break out of the mental hospital, get married, have a kid? When did he get put in the mental hospital? Was it not because of the family murder?
This had to have happened between the murder and the sentencing. Because, like, other, like, since then, he's been committed. Like, he was deemed criminally insane, right? And then locked away. So somewhere in between there, he met a girl who was just like, I'm crazy about your crazy, you know? And, like, let's have a baby.
Which ends up being Keys.
Yes.
Then we finally have a vision that's jogged because he goes to this mental hospital because he just assumes that this guy is his dad without any information.
Yeah.
We see him as a kid with like a little bowl cut mullet and he's at the visitor room and he watches Bronner kill his mom or just bash her head a bit.
Not entirely sure. He never said that he was a orphan. He just said that he never knew his father, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like maybe he killed his mother. Or at the very least, he definitely bashed her head in until she was unconscious. It was brutal.
And the detective was like, yeah, I didn't think you'd remember that.
So what we learn from Lynchay is that he could have, he became the sole inheritor of the entire, the DeFeo estate, the Bronner estate.
But all he wanted was this mirror.
All he asked for was a single mirror. Why would he keep that mirror? And like, did they let him keep it in the facility or was it just always in storage? And anyway, at some point, he got the mirror back. He's been keeping it with him in his homeless camp. And when he finally found his son, he gifted it to him. Because he's like,
but also not interested in him enough to stay more than 10 seconds. He was like, well, I'm bored of you.
I'm getting the fuck out of here. Yeah, it really felt like he was passing the curse on. Because he also said, like, oh, this mirror has been in my family for generations. and then he left it with him and disappeared. It doesn't seem like it attacked Keys first. You'd think it would, but it makes anybody who looks into it go crazy.
Well, because once he finds out his origin story, mm-hmm. because he starts seeing his dad in the mirror, because the mirror is ? Possessed by his dad.
I have no idea who
and not the
by.
Evil spirit of Amityville. And then it becomes this hereditary thing where he believes he's destined to kill his family.
Yeah.
And the mirror, is it possessing him? I don't know. There aren't really scenes of him, gazing into the mirror and getting possessed.
No, it's just like if your finger snaps and then all of a sudden he's...
He's like, I am my father's son.
Yeah, he's just like way on the deep end. Like he's in a manic state. He's clearly not as productive as Suki.
Somebody needs to make him a cup of tea and sit him down. Because like, I don't see anything supernatural with his possession. I feel like he's just got some bad news about his biological father.
Yeah.
And he needs to just sit down and chew on it.
Yeah, but instead he's trying to channel it into his art. And he comes up with another performance piece where he's got these...
His girlfriend suggests it, which is a terrible idea. She's like, why don't you murder us with this water gun and with the blood in it, and it'll be great.
Yeah, because he's proposing that he does this, essentially like this 2D living diorama of Thanksgiving.
3D.
Well, okay, it's 3D, but they're kind of 2D standees, right?
Okay.
Like he wants to take his photographs and blow them up. And every time he develops a new photo, it's a demon face. But they're like, it's clearly an aftershoot because they're reacting to it. Like, look, the face is blurred, but it's clearly like a demon face,
like a lenticular demon.
Yeah. Anyway, so that evolves into having his girlfriend and his friends, including like the
because he doesn't
dick
have a family.
Doesn't have an actual... No, he's got a found family, Kim. Like, he's got his artist collective and his landlord. So he gets Polly to leave his art installation to come join the head of the table as dad. Dick and Dick's wife are supposed to be his brother and sister, and his girlfriend
but Dick's
is
dead, nobody knows, but nobody cares.
And like all troubled dudes, his girlfriend has now taken the place of his mother. You know? And he's gonna come in, and he's gonna shoot them with a water gun filled with red fake blood, and it's gonna be so fun and edgy, and all of the critics who have come to their apartment art show are gonna love it. But instead, he borrows a seemingly loaded shotgun.
That's the only reason that art installation exists.
Yeah, so
Polly... So we can introduce a real gun into this art house where no one would own a gun.
Polly, Richard Roundtree, has a sculpture that Kim insists is just a performance art piece.
It's a cool performance art piece.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's saying what I think it's saying, but... I might be giving it more credit than it deserves.
Well, I think what he's trying to say here is that we all we do is watch TV. We watch TV until we die, and all we watch on TV is other people dying. And so the art installation is just like a regular ass lazy boy chair set up in front of a TV with a loaded shotgun to it and a ticking clock counting down to, I think, the year 2000?
He said at any point before 2001.
At any point,
so you
before
don't know when.
Okay, that's interesting. And what he's watching on TV is his own face. So it's like inevitably he's watching his own death, and he's loving it. Right? He's just smiling. He's eating popcorn. He can't wait for the finale to show up. And it's definitely a riff on a very real art installation, like an actual sculpture, a piece that that I learned about this year watching a documentary.
What's the art piece?
It's called TV Buddha. It's from Namjoon Pak. He's just like a sort of multimedia artist. You may be seen this before. Have you seen this?
No.
It's a traditional sculpture of Buddha. That
it looks
you would
like Smell-O-Vision from Willy Wonka.
Anyway, so it has a Smell-O-Vision style TV that the Buddha is watching, and there's a camera set up so that the Buddha is watching himself on TV.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. Art. I see it.
Yeah, and that's definitely what they're riffing on here. Like, that came out in 1974. It was huge. There's versions of it all over the place. Yeah,
yes.
You know it well. Yeah, anyway, so that's what they're riffing on in this. And so he has stolen keys, has stolen the very real shotgun, the loaded shotgun, from Pauly's installation. And he's like approaching the table, and like all the critics are there, and everybody's, and there's like wind going on now. All the windows blew out at some point. No one addressed it.
Yeah, they notice it because there's glass in their dishes, and nobody makes any facial expression to be like, "That's fucked." Maybe the mirrors in this room are haunted.
But of course, like before the last minute, before he kills everybody, he just blows the mirror away. And the cops come in. No,
the cops come in before that, while he's holding the gun up.
You're right. He's holding everybody hostage. The cops come in. His girlfriend is like, "Wait, keys, don't." And the cop's like, "Hey, wait, hold on a second. She's got this." Like, the cops are just like, "I think we're fine. I think she's got this covered."
He shoots at the table a few times. Everybody's still scared. And then he finally shoots the mirror. And then the press just starts clapping.
Yeah, like the mirror explodes. They love it. They're practically raising him onto their shoulders, right? And taking him out into the streets. Like, he's going to be the new Andy Warhol. the best part about all of it, though, right? Right before the cops are about to leave, Terry O'Quinn's like, "Hey, man. That's 7 years bad luck." Like, of course. Guaranteed next week's episode, when we talk about Mirror Mirror, somebody's going to say the exact same thing.
You know, it really grounds the whole movie, though, brings us back to reality. That it was an evil mirror all along.
Yeah, because we forgot, the movie forgot, the characters forgot.
The mirror stopped being the big grand evil as soon as Sookie dies.
Yeah.
And she is like a ramp-up death. You're like, wow, these are getting good. This mirror's real creative. And then it stops.
Because it's like the demons get out. And, like, now the demons are in the apartment. Like, they're all throughout the apartment kind of deal.
Yeah, but I think the demons were exclusively, like, a Sookie kill, because I think they go back into the paintings when she's dead. And then the next kill is reserved for whatever your next fear or pain or whatever story they overhear when you're looking in the
whatever
mirror.
Whatever they overhear.
I don't know. I don't know how the mirror works.
Okay, well, there actually is a pretty okay moment in the end half of this movie where we keep revisiting that scene where Keyes sees his dad in the mental institution maybe kill his mom. And he's like passing by all these rooms where all these other people are locked up. And like toward the end of the movie, like it's an adult Keyes that's in this facility. And when he looks into each of the rooms, it's like it's all the people that the mirror has killed so far.
Which
like,
is a pretty cool concept.
Yeah. Like he's like keeping them in this like mental institution. Like Keyes is, or Sookie is there, and Dick is there. And that's how he learns that Dick is dead, actually. This is where he screams, "I'm your landlord," instead of like, "God help me," or something, you know? It's a great moment. They don't really do a whole lot with it, unfortunately, but it is fun.
So, okay, so having seen the entirety of this film, what do you think the mirror is haunted by?
I think, genuinely, the mirror is haunted by the Amityville house. Like, I don't, like, the house is what haunts the mirror. It's not the evil that lived in the house, or the evil that possessed the people in the house. I think it's the actual house haunts the mirror.
And the house has also claimed the soul of Keyes' dad? Or it's just imitating his dad now that his dad's dead?
Sure.
I want answers, John.
You want answers? These are not the kind of movies that give you answers. These are the kind of movies that just throw images at you, and then at the end, they're just like, and credits. Hope you had a good time. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's supposed to be that the evil that lived in the house, or at least part of the evil that lived in the house, is in the mirror. And they're using the image of the house to convey that. I mean, really, they're using the image of the house to sell tickets. You know, like, people are like, ooh, look, the mirrors, the windows on that house look like eyeballs. Ooh, and those eyeballs are in the mirror, and the mirror's staring at you.
Yeah, I thought, as soon as they mentioned an art show, I honestly thought somebody was going to recognize that you can see things in the mirror and was going to make that an art installation. So the mirror was just going to kill, like, the art critics and stuff.
Oh, that'd be good.
Like, they were going to go look at the mirror and everybody would, you know, die in their own way.
Or everybody would get possessed and go out. And then it becomes like, the Bronx is now Amityville.
Amityville.
Like, the new borough.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
But no.
No, not at all.
No.
Did you enjoy your Haunted Mirror movie?
Not enough Haunted Mirror, but yes.
And so how many Haunted Mirrors out of 4, out of 10 are you? How many Haunted Mirrors out of,
like,
4?
If I'm rating it as a Haunted Mirror movie, I'm going to say 1.5 out of 4.
Yeah.
But, you know, as like a bad horror movie, 2 out of 4.
Yeah, no, it's a 2 out of 4.
Yeah, it was totally confusing, totally watchable. Totally confusing.
Yeah. Full half-star bomb from Lin Shaye. Like, really can't. And it's not just like, ooh, so great to see Lin Shaye. Love her. Like, she's actually really good in this movie.
Yeah, she's fucking killing it.
She came in for one afternoon, and she was just like, I'm going, like, I'm giving this everything.
And she's so peculiar. Like,
that's
you don't
the thing.
Trust
like, you don't
her,
know about her. Like, she might be possessed.
Yeah.
She's part of the house.
She's the house.
She's got a lot more going on in this movie than anybody else. I wish there was more of her in it. Ugh.
I wonder why we are not in the house at all. Like, maybe they just wanted to get away because they
wanted to. I think the owners of the house don't want people shooting it anymore.
That's true. They did change, like, all of the windows and the facade and stuff. They were like, this is no more Amityville house nonsense.
Stop coming to see it. Anyway, 2 out of 4 from the both of us on the Amityville A New Generation. The Evil Mirror Movie. Like, why? What a bad title. The New Generation?
When did Texas Chainsaw Massacre the new generation?
Sometime after this. I think they came out in 96.
Oh, I was like, maybe they were riffing on that. No?
Yeah, there's a couple New Generation movies, and they're all kooky. Like, the Texas Chainsaw New Generation is just like, hey, what if the Texas Chainsaw Massacre family is maybe in the Hellraiser universe? We're not sure. But it's got Matthew McConaughey, and he's real nuts in it. Let us know what you thought. The Amityville New Generation. What your favorite evil mirror movies are. Kim is dying to do an article on the website about them. If you could give her some ideas, she'd happily eat them up.
Yeah, I really like Amityville movies for some reason, even though most of them, maybe all of them, are bad. Mm-hmm. And I also really like evil mirror movies. I honestly thought this was a match made in heaven for me.
It seemed like you had a really good time watching it.
I did have fun.
Hit us up in the Nightmare on Film Street Discord at nofspodcast.com/discord. Or head over to the Fiend Club at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub to listen to hours of bonus content in exchange for supporting the show.
To support the show for free, please leave us a 5-star rating and review wherever you're getting the show, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. It really helps us grow in the charts and allows more horror fiends to find us.
We'll be back again next week, but until then, I'm John.
I'm Kim.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.